Clouds, chance of snow by evening, high of 35, and Sunday, mixed wintry weather ending as snow, high of 35. I'm Bob Barnum, and that is the latest from the WFAN.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor, and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman
Crooks. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And each week we try to bring you a very special guest to talk about the world of special needs planning or elder law. And this week we've got Adrian Arkentaki. Welcome, Adrian. I am doing fantastic, and Adrian is out there in the trenches helping families get the education that they deserve and helping families plan for their future, and I thought it would be a great idea for Adrian to tell us firsthand what she does and what special needs planning is all about. So Adrian, if somebody asked you what you do for a living, what would you tell them?
I tell them that I am an attorney who practices in the area of special needs planning, special education advocacy, and guardianship in the surrogate court. I'm an attorney with Lippman Crooks, and I go out there and advocate for families to get services that they need through the school districts and also to help plan for their children's futures.
All right, so let's break that down. It's a lot of stuff. A family has a kid with a disability. Tell me what they should be concerned about and tell me, you know, what we do to help them.
I think they should be concerned on a few fronts. First of all, and as people who know me know, it's Adrian's perfect world. In Adrian's perfect world, a child would be getting the services that they deserve through the school district, getting a good educational program no matter how severe the disabilities are. And then once that's in place, I think it's important for the families to plan for the child's future in the areas of estate planning and special needs trust, so that if a child is eligible for government benefits, there are certain planning techniques that we can use so that their government benefits are never compromised by an inheritance or anything else in the estate area. And then when the child turns 18, depending on how severe the disability is, there are issues of guardianship, because as we know and as many parents don't know, at 18, a child becomes an emancipated adult, meaning under the law, no matter how severe the disability is, they have the right to make their own decisions, and if a guardian is not appointed, there are some really tragic circumstances that could come
up. All right, so let's talk about, I mean, you said making sure the kids get the services they're entitled to. Don't they just go on a school bus, go to school, and the school does what it's supposed to do?
Well, we hope that is the case, but in many cases it is not. Because of the sheer numbers of children today with disabilities, the school districts are overwhelmed with the numbers of children. In addition, by law, every child is entitled to a free, appropriate public education, a tailored education to their unique needs. And unfortunately, some of the districts are ill-equipped to give the child everything that they need. So they don't just get on the bus and everything goes well. Many times a parent or an advocate or an attorney has to intervene and really help the district see the light and help the parents navigate through the system.
But how does a school district know if a kid has special needs?
Well, there are a couple of ways. Either the teachers can identify in the classroom that the child has some problems, or if hopefully early on enough, the parent knows and then goes to the school and asks for a referral to the Committee on Special Education. And then what happens is certain testing is done and there is a meeting between the teachers, the CSC chair, and the parents to really talk about what programs are needed to address the child's deficits.
Does every school district have a Committee on Special Education?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so that committee's role is to identify the kids who need special services and to then authorize those services?
Yes, absolutely.
Who generally sits on the committee?
There's usually a CSC chair, a regular education teacher, there's usually a special ed teacher, there many times is a parent advocate, the parents can sit, and they are really a part of that committee, and also anyone else that has any special knowledge, sometimes an OT, a PT, a speech therapist sit on the committee and help make those decisions.
And how do you distinguish, or how does the committee or district distinguish between, I mean, kids have all different levels of ability, so you could have a kid who's not as smart as the other kids. Does that kid have a disability, or is he just not as smart?
If you're talking to personally and professionally, I think that you need to look at each child in a specific way, very unique needs, and really help that child to build to his potential. So what you're looking at is what the child, what their needs are and what their potentials are, and you measure those and then come up with a program that helps bring the child to their potential.
Now, you mentioned sometimes members of the committee include occupational and speech and physical therapists. What does that have to do with the school district?
Well, those types of services are called in many cases related services, and they, again, help the child to achieve their educational potential.
So it's the school district's responsibility to provide a speech and physical and other therapists during the school day?
Absolutely.
And they do this in the classroom or outside?
They do it sometimes in the classroom, sometimes out of the classroom. Again, what is important for parents to realize that what I always joke about is it's not an IEP, an individualized education program in a box. It is tailored to the child, and their programs must be tailored to their needs. Some children need OT in order to write better, in order to, progress.
Now, this all sounds like interesting material, but you know, why do families need a lawyer to get the services they're entitled to?
Sometimes the parents don't know exactly what they're entitled to, and they will go to their districts, and either for lack of knowledge or, for some other reasons that we don't know about, the district will give the parent information that is not correct. And so sometimes it takes the parent going to an attorney who really is very well versed in the laws and can go with them to the committee and say, hey, listen, this is what the law says. This is what you have to fulfill under IDEA.
Okay, so give me a success story where the family was plodding along, doing whatever they were doing, then they came to you, and then you fixed things and made things right.
Okay. I had a client in Long Island whose niece, actually, was in a school district going into sixth grade and reading on a first grade reading level. And for years, the parent went to the school district and said, look, I think that she can do better. We know she has a learning disability, but we just feel like if you put in place a good reading program, she can really progress. And the school district said, I think she's doing the best she can, and we just have to go along with what we have, and maybe she'll be a checker at a supermarket. That was her potential, and the parent just knew that in their heart she could do better. So they called me up, and I went to a CSE meeting and said to the district, you need to put in place this reading program. It has been proven. It's scientifically based. It has. It's been peer reviewed, and they did so after we advocated. And lo and behold, the child in 2 years has gone up tremendously in her reading potential. Not only has she just done so well, she feels so much more self-confident now. And actually, her parents wrote me a letter that said that they will never attend a CSE meeting without our firm being involved, because we were professional there. We worked collaboratively with the district, and their daughter was just, it's amazing how much better she felt about going to school. So it's been wonderful.
How'd that make you feel to get that letter?
Oh, it makes me feel great. And as you know, and people who work with me, it's just an incredible, rewarding experience to do this work.
So this was a child who the district initially felt would never get past the first grade level of reading?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, that certainly is a great success story. And I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Adrian Arkentaki from our law firm, Littman Crooks. And we, of course, have offices right here in White Plains and in Dutchess County and in Manhattan. And we're going to take a short break and be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, and with us this evening is Adrian Arkentaki, an attorney at our law firm, and Adrian specializes in special needs planning and special education advocacy. And Adrian's been sort of setting the table for us for how she and our firm can assist you in connection with getting the services your children need and are entitled to at the local school district. And what happens, Adrian, if you get to these meetings and you can't see eye to eye with the district after having a couple of meetings? I mean, you just go home and pout, or is there something you can do?
There are definitely some options for you. If you cannot resolve things at the CSC level, you can initiate what's called a due process hearing request. And really, it has the components of a litigation. What you have to do is put in writing what the problems are and the potential or possible resolutions to this problem. You file it with the district, and then a hearing officer is assigned to the matter who really tries to sit down with both parties and resolve the situation. She does issue a decision, and you get to introduce evidence. You get to call witnesses. I will say that it is a very emotional and difficult time for the parents in many cases. But in many cases, they do feel very powerful about what they're advocating for, and it takes a toll on everyone, and you do want to try to work things out prior to filing a due process request, but it is an option.
Now, can the school district retaliate if you sue them or you have this hearing? Can they do things to the child?
No, absolutely not. And you can file a state education complaint or you can bring it up to the hearing officer. So there should not be any retaliation. Some of the things they can do, though, is if a family puts forth a due process request, either by themselves or with an attorney involved, they can challenge the sufficiency of the complaint. They can say that you have not put forth a complaint that really addresses all the issues. And in some cases, they can initiate a complaint on their own. So, for instance, if you go in and you want an independent occupational therapy evaluation and the district feels that the one that they've done is sufficient, they can file a due process request and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to go and get this OT eval on your own. So there are times that they can initiate the complaint also.
Now, I guess all of this quality legal work costs money, and, you know, school districts probably have high-powered law firms representing them, filing motions and doing whatever high-powered law firms do. Is there any way for the family, the middle-class family, to get relief if they win one of these hearings where they can get the money back from the district?
Absolutely. In many cases, if you win at least on one of the issues that you go to hearing on, you are entitled to reimbursement from the district. So parents should not feel because of the financial obligation that they cannot challenge the programs that their children are in. There is definitely a way to get the fees from the district.
And I know this is an ever-changing area of law, and of course when you get in litigation, and a lot of times it really turns on who has the burden of proving the case. How does that work in the special ed area, and have there been any recent developments in that regard?
Yes. Recently, Governor Spitzer has overturned a decision, Schaefer v. Wiest, which put the burden of proof back on the families in proving the case at a due process hearing. Now the burden is back on the school districts to prove that the programs that they are providing are appropriate. So right now I feel like the families are more empowered to go forth and really advocate for their children.
So this will make it easier for families to win these cases.
It absolutely will make it easier. And again, there is a lot invested in providing good programs for these kids, but it is a sigh of relief to the families.
All right, so special education advocacy, that's just one piece of what you do, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's say we go to the school district, we get all these services that the children are entitled to. Does the family then say, thanks for your help, Adrian, and go home, or is there anything else we can do for them?
No, it absolutely is not the last thing on the agenda. Again, because in Adrian's perfect world, we use a comprehensive approach in our practice. We have to look at things like guardianship and special needs planning, which entails really the estate planning piece of planning for our children's future. If a family has a child with special needs, there are different ways to plan for the estate planning piece of it, such as the use of special needs trust. So when a family comes into me and we've done everything we can do to get a good educational program in place, we ask them, well, do you have your wills in place? Do you have all your advanced directives in place? Have you thought about a special needs trust? So that is definitely the second step.
Okay, well, why can't they just disinherit the child with special needs?
You know, the old view on that was, yes, just disinherit the child and their brother or sister will take care of that child with special needs. Unfortunately, when you do that, you don't know what circumstances the brother or sister is operating under. Maybe they marry somebody, maybe they have credit problems, maybe they get divorced. So you can't rely on somebody else to really take care of that child the rest of their lives without good legal interventions in place.
All right, so if you just leave the money to the sibling and then the sibling has problems in his or her personal life, even the best laid plans can go awry because the money might not be there.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's one way that's not going to work. And, of course, then why don't you just leave it to the kid with disabilities?
Because, unfortunately, many of the children with disabilities are eligible for public benefits, such as Medicaid, Medicaid waivers, SSI. And really, when a child is eligible for those programs, they are not supposed to have other resources. And if they have other resources, then they will not be eligible for these programs. So either of two things will happen. They will be, for lack of a better term, booted off these programs and not eligible, or they will have to pay back Medicaid for services that they have received. So you don't want to just leave the money outright. And also in the area of in the instance where a child inherits the money and perhaps they don't have a guardian, will they have the knowledge to really use this money put this money to good use?
Okay, so then what's the right answer? What should you do?
The right answer is to see an attorney who is very well-versed in the area of special needs planning. And what they will do is, again, tailor a plan. It's not a plan in a box for everyone. It's not that the special needs trust is always the answer. As you know, we have clients who come in and say, I want a special needs trust. That's not always the answer. So what we do is we sit down with the family. The first thing we do is say to them, what is your expectation for your child? We take a look at the child's IEP. We take a look at what their potential is in the future. And we say, okay, let's now put in place a plan. We make sure that the parents have wills in place. And in those wills are guardians that are set forth until a child is 18. And then there are special needs trusts or supplemental needs trusts that can either be prepared through a will, and that's a testamentary trust, or what I call a freestanding supplemental needs trust, where other people during their lifetime can contribute to this trust. And that will provide for the child. And the trust names a trustee. And that trustee will have full discretion over any money that is given to the child with disabilities.
Okay, but the money in this trust doesn't count as the child's assets? Because the way I understand it, to go on Medicaid, you can only have a couple of $1,000s. So is it true that the money that goes into this trust doesn't count?
It does not count. And by law, and the government has given us certain safe harbors in order to protect that money. And so it will not count for eligibility. But there is a caveat to all this. It's not as if the money goes into the trust and the child can say, I want to spend the money on medication. I want to spend the money on a new wheelchair. Or I want you to give me a stipend of $500 a month. What the law says and what the trust says is that the money must be used for anything that will not replace government benefits. So what it can be used for is anything that will not affect the government benefits. It can be used, say, for a trip for the child to Disney World. It can be used for a TV in the group home. It can be used to hire caregivers if they are not covered by Medicaid.
So things that will improve the quality of life of the person with disabilities.
Yes. And if you want to use the legal terms, it says that it should not replace the government benefits. It can supplement them.
And then what happens to if there's money left in this pot or in this trust when the kid dies? Where does the money go?
If the money is not the child's money, if it is money that the parent has given to the child or that an aunt or uncle or grandparent has given to the child, that money at the end of the child with disabilities lifetime can be given to other people. So, for instance, I have a daughter with severe disabilities, and of course we have a supplemental needs trust set up for her. And at the end of her lifetime, if there is any money left, it can go to my other daughters, or it can go to a charity. It can go to anywhere you would like it to
go. So as long as it's not the child's money, can go where you want. If it is the child's money, then some of it may have to go back
to
Medicaid.
Absolutely.
I'm Bernie Crooks. This is the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney Show, and we'll be right back after this short message.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks, with offices in Manhattan, White Plains, and Dutchess County. And our guest this evening is Adrian Arkentaki, and we've been talking about special needs planning. And I guess, you know, I guess for every parent, Adrian, especially for a parent with a kid with special needs, the greatest fear is, you know, what's going to happen to this child as they get older? What does the future hold? And then ultimately, what's going to happen when we're no longer here? So let's just take that one step at a time. While the child is a minor, parents take care of him or her, and then the child turns 18. What do parents need to be concerned with?
It is very important before the child turns 18 to consider whether the child needs guardianship. And again, guardianship is not the answer for every child. Many of the families that we see have children today on the autistic spectrum, or children who are very physically disabled but cognitively can really understand what's going on. So you assess the child's needs, and if you feel that a child does need a guardian, somebody to oversee what's going on in that child's life for the rest of their life, then you would really consider guardianship. And for children who are developmentally disabled or mentally retarded, there is a streamlined guardianship proceeding in the surrogate's court. It's called the 17A guardianship. And in Westchester, we are very lucky to have Judge Scarpino, who is in the surrogate court. And we would go to a hearing in front of the judge and put forth a petition where we would say why this child needs a guardian. You can also add standby guardians. You can give somebody who, if you as the parent are not available, can step in as a guardian. You do need two doctors to write letters or do affirmations saying that this child cannot make their own decisions. The most important piece to me about this is the health care piece of it, or healthcare decisions piece of it, because once a child is 18, again, they are an emancipated adult, and you need to have somebody that can make those healthcare decisions. So you don't want to be the one who's going into an emergency room after a child is 18 without the guardianship papers.
Is the child present during this hearing?
In many counties, the child does have to be present. Here in Westchester, many times it is not necessary, but in many counties it is. And it is a full guardianship. You cannot really, under 17A, tailor it according to the child.
So this is something that needs to be thought through carefully and not just a knee-jerk reaction.
No, absolutely. You should really consider the needs of the child.
And let's just, we've got another minute or so here before we've got to do some business. Just talk about where would an adult child with disabilities live when the parents are no longer around?
You know, today we are very lucky. There are more options. There are residential schools. There are group homes available. There are great agencies today that can provide housing for adults with disabilities. And sometimes they can live by themselves just with a caregiver coming in a few hours just to make sure everything's all right. So there are many more options today.
And is this something that the parents can sort of set in place while they're still alive?
Absolutely. They can go to organizations such as WARC in Westchester who can help them with group home placement.
Okay, this is Bernie Crooks. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We've just got about a minute left here with Adrian Arkentaki, who's an expert in the area of special education advocacy and special needs planning. And Adrian, for our listeners who want to learn more about this area, what can they look for on the internet?
It's very important. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to our website, which is very, very informational. It's www.littmancrooks.com. We have some great articles, great interviews from the radio show, and I really think you should go on and take a look.
And if they want to talk to you and get some more personalized advice and information, is that okay as well?
That is absolutely okay. You can call 914-684-2100. We do have other attorneys who are great in the area of special needs planning, and I encourage you to call us.
So we've got a team approach.
We absolutely do.
All right, so we've got just a couple seconds left here. Give us your final parting thoughts on this evening, Adrian.
I'd just like to thank everybody for listening. I think that you should take a look at what's going on educationally and just try and plan for your child far in advance.
Adrian, it's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Bernie Crooks of the law firm Littman Crooks with offices in White Plains, Dutchess County, Manhattan. This has been the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney Show. Good night, everyone.
The merriest, you cheer. We wish you the happiest, the happiest, yes, the happiest. We wish you the happiest, New Year. May your tree be filled with happiness and friendliness for all. May your heart be filled with cheerfulness, happiness and cheerfulness for all. We wish you the happiest. We wish you the merriest. You'll cheer. And the happiest New Year. The happiest, we wish you the happiest, New Year. Happiness and friendliness for all.
May your heart be filled with cheerfulness.
With happiness and cheerfulness and friendliness for all. The merriest, you'll cheer.
And the happiest,
the friendliest,
and the cheeriest,
the merriest New Year.
Before the second show.